to those people that are here that never make it to my mandatory Thursday night schmooze. And I also want to make a special thank you to Josh Redlich. Where are you? The title of the shiur, Disturbia, The Power of Music, was his idea. Ethan was pushing for I Kissed a Rabbi and I Liked It. But it was passed through the committee. Rabbi David thought it was not appropriate. I don't know why. Anyhow, I want to just spend a few minutes talking about... here's Rabbi David. There's nothing worse than making fun of someone. He's not even there. Okay, so... just by show of hands... hands up those people over here that think that music is an important part of their lives. You don't have to be obsessed with it, but you enjoy it. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it's a very healthy group. It's the overwhelming majority of people. We're getting there, Rabbi David. We're getting there. The music of the Briscoe. We're getting there. But you notice something incredible about music. Every culture and every nation and in America, every few hundred miles, there's a different music. When you ask a person what music do they like, it's incredibly, incredibly subjective to the culture that you come from. So for example, there's a nation of 1.2 billion people called China. Some of you have heard of it. Okay, for the New Yorkers, don't worry about it. But the point is, there's this place called China. China's a huge, big country. 1.2 billion. You ask them, what music do they like? So basically, they love music. What do? They take pots and pans, they throw them down the steps, and they think, dong, ting, dong, dong, ting, dong. This is like incredible. And then, of course, they name their kids after the sound. And this is... it's not normal. You have... the next line I dedicate to Rabbi David. You have, this happened to me once, Baruch Hashem, never happened to me again. If you ever, chas v'shalom, by chance, put on this thing called a television, so if you put it on the wrong station, you actually meet a person that looks like he's going to jump out of the screen and mug you. And he's going like, you know, Rabbi David, can we do this? What's up, man? Remember that, okay? What's up, man? Remember that? Rabbi David, I taught you something. There we go, okay? So you have, it's a certain type of a music. This guy comes along and he's going, and you don't know it's music if someone doesn't tell you. It looks like this guy's asking for your money. Then of course there's a continent called Latin America. This is like really strange because this is what they do. There's a whole continent. All they're doing is basically dancing to da 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 da. The whole thing. They don't work. Right? There's no economy. They're just dancing to the same. And my wife comes from the South. The South is the most interesting place in America because it's the only place in the world where to listen to music, you have to either be on a horse or have difficulty in walking. It's like a very strange thing. But the point is that this is called country music. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's a very strange thing that this is, everywhere you go, people like their music. Very few of the youngsters over here like their parents' music. Your parents don't like their parents. This is what goes on. Music is incredibly subjective. So I want to explain to you how I understand what do they all have in common. So is anyone over here that wants to suggest? Can someone give a definition of music that combines everything? A definition of music that somehow like is the ring that binds them all. Rabbi David, a definition of music. How would you define the word music?
Pure cacophony.
Okay, I was thinking very much along the line. I don't do three syllables. Anybody else? I'm sure we have musicians. Rabbi Schneider, okay? We have a musician over here. He's a saxophonist, in case you didn't know. How would you define, anyone over here, Rabbi Willig, how do you define the word music? Mazeh music. What is it? How would you define music? So I want to share with you, I have a definition that was given to me by a student of mine who was learning in music school. Rabbi, would say, there's no wrong answer. There's no wrong answer over here. There's a definition of music that is, I think it's incredible, and it's workable with. Quote, a rhythmic sequence of sounds and silences. Zinishmatov, Arav? A rhythmic sequence of sounds and silences. It doesn't quite use the word cacophony, but it's a good definition over here. So I want to give you Menachem Nissel's definition. It's not really, really, technically speaking, a definition. It's more a hashkafa idea. I want to explain to you what connects all music, and then to develop an idea which shows you how music works. What every single type of music has, whether you're listening to classical, whether you're listening to Arabic music, everyone at some point has put on the wrong station. And you're thinking, you know, flush already. You know, this is not a person constipated in a minaret. This is what they actually dance to. This is there's a billion of them out there. So what exactly is it that they have in common? So here's the point. All of music, without exception, every single music from the beginning of time until today has the following thing in common. All of music tries to take you to a new state of consciousness. It's not a difficult concept to understand. But all of music is a journey, and the journey is not from a place to another place. It is a journey from one state of consciousness to another. I want to explain to you what this means, but first hear the idea. Every time you listen to music, or you sing music, or you dance to music, you are going somewhere. You are going on a journey. And the music that you listen to defines where you're going to go on this particular trip. So I want to explain this to you. These ideas are basically my own. I said it over to my Rebbe. He nodded his head. I'm not sure if he agreed or he just could not be bothered to argue with me. But this is the way I understand it. Culture, what we call tarbus. You talk about culture. The culture of the world, today there's thousands of different cultures. Culture goes back to three dominant cultures. And these are the children of Noah. You have the culture of Shem, you have the culture of Cham, and you have the culture of Yafes. Shem, Cham, and Yafes, each one of these three sons of Noah stand for something, and you can know what they stand for by looking at their names. So the word Shem means essence. This is the word Shem. I ask you, what is your name? So you know your name is your essence. The word Cham means heat, and the word Yefes means beauty. I want to go through these three words with you, explain them to you, and show how both the culture and the music bears out from what they're all about. So let's start off with the music of Shem. What is a person's essence? So here, anyone that's been exposed to the writings of the Ramchal, you know that when I ask you, who are you? What is the essence of who you are? The you is where the spiritual part of you and the physical part of you meet. If I ask you, define yourself, and you say, what is your Ratzin? Ratzin is Gematria Makar, my essence, my willpower, who I am, what I want, what I desire, my ambitions, what makes me me. There's a certain Nakud inside of a person, which sometimes we call the Lev, where the higher, the Moach, the spiritual dimension, and the physical, earthly part of you, they come together. I am is where my physical and spiritual meet. I want to be in touch with who I am, my shame. I want to be at that point where the Ruchani and the Gashmi inside of me come together. That's the real me. The music of shame takes you to your essence. The music of shame takes you to that part of you don't become a Malach, and you're not a behemoth, but you're where the two meet, where the physical and spiritual come together. That's where I want to get to. So you have the classic example of the music of Shem is the music of the Levim. A person goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and they listen to the music of the Levim. They get in touch with their inner selves. Now, I've never seen this inside. I heard this from friends of mine, but it's brought down in Sifrei Chassidus. The Levim were geniuses. Not only did they understand music, they had a Ruach HaKodesh. They could look at each person when they brought a carbon. A person would have to bring a chatos. So he would come to the Beis HaMikdash. The Levim would look at that person and see the chait all over them. They would play music that was mournful, And then, the moment the carbon was brought, the music would switch to something joyful. And, this is incredible, every single person had their own tone. Because the Levim knew no two people are alike. So they would look, and each one, according to their own shame, their own cherished nishmasam, that was the music that the Levim would play. It was their essence. That was the real them. The music of David HaMelech and the music of the Nevi'im is brought down by Eliyahu HaNavi, by Yikach Es HaMenagim. When Eliyahu HaNavi wanted to get Ruach HaKodesh, he would ask a musician to play. So there are musicians in this room. I happen to be, those of you that were in my shiur last night, you know I'm a very good second-rate guitarist, or maybe a third-rate guitarist, but I love music. I would give anything to be able to hear the music of the Menachin of Eliyahu HaNavi. It's just the most incredible thing that a person will be able to play on strings and bring Eliyahu HaNavi to a state of Ruach HaKodesh. It's the most incredible thought. But Ruach HaKodesh means that the external you is in touch with the internal you and it has become one. And that is the power of the music of shame. I just want to share with you just a little thing. It's fascinating. Every morning you say davening. The davening that we do, the Holy Sfarim call it a sulam. What does it mean, a sulam? It's like Yaakov's sulam, according to Jesus HaRambam. It goes from down here to up there. You climb up a ladder. The beginning of davening, you start off and talk about physical, earthy things. The most prominent would be example would be Asher Yatzah. And you celebrate the chachma of the human body. Then you get to Shema, and then certainly the Shemoneh Esrei. The Shema, you're suddenly talking about Malachim. You're with there with the angel, you're saying Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. How do you get from downstairs to up there? How do you go from the Olam HaAsiya, the physical earthly world, to the Olam of the Kisei HaKavod? How do you get there? So the answer is, there was a man called David HaMelech who with his infinite genius gave us Psukei DeZimra. This is music. Even if you're not Achenu HaSfaradim, I don't know what goes on in Persia, but I know in Morocco they used to sing. Together, they used to sing Psukei DeZimra. It doesn't make any difference whether you're physically singing or not. The idea of music is that it takes you on a journey. It takes you from down, from the world of Isaiah McClaiming with Karbonus, all the way to the world of the of Kabbalah and Malchus with the Malachim. That is Psukei DeZimra. It is a Psukei that takes you on a journey. That's the music of shame. What about the music of Chom? So I'm skipping to Chom because Yefes is the main part of the share. What is the music of Chom? So what does it mean, heat? So the idea of heat, if shame is the most intimate part of who you are, where your neshama and guf meet, Chom is the most external part of the human body. Every person exudes heat. Heat is the most superficial way that you reach out beyond yourself. Every person has a certain chamimus that comes out. I have heard from wise people that the heat of a person can actually be seen by certain people. You don't have to be a Navi. It's called their aura, A-U-R-A. I have no idea what this is. But people who are normal have told me that they can look at a person and they can see a tzaddik has a white aura and people have a red aura of people that are not so kosher. And you lay there whether this thing, I've heard this from Chachamim, from normal people, but a person exudes an aura. That is the heat that comes out of them. Know that your aura, your heat, is the most superficial way that you express. It's not even you. It's not even your body. It's certainly not your spirit. When a person thinks about their heat, so heat basically breaks down into two dimensions. You had the heat of what's called anger, of kas. You got a person's anger, and then you got the heat that's the whole sensual dimension, that thing that's connected to the tzad yamin, the tzad of the person, all the arroyas. There's certain heat that it brings up a person. A person wants to go on a journey to the world of heat. A person wants to arouse these passions, both in anger and on the other side. So there's a music called the music of Cham. And here, our rabbis taught us, is where the tumah of music comes in. The pure tumah, it's a koyach of tumah, that takes a person to this sort of a savagery of either sensual or violent and anger passions, kas or taiva. This is where it brings you. I'm not saying it's a schus. I once saw this with my own eyes. My sister used to live in South Africa. This was back in 25 years ago. She took me to see a witch doctor working on a patient. The whole thing was with drums and all this trance music. And I felt so disgusted. I was your age. And I was so disgusted by what I saw, the whole thing. I wanted to rush to a mikveh. Your mama, she could feel the kayach of tuma. This is music that has a messiah to it. Out of all the music that I've ever heard, the most evil music that I've ever heard is the music that comes out of Haiti. Some people know what I'm talking about. It's a voodoo music. It is based on whatever they call Satanism. It's got Christianity is mixed into it, but it's basically, it has its roots in mamish, the tumah of Africa. And this is something, it rouses people and it gives people kochos. We's in charge, Rabbi Willie. We's in charge. Okay, this is an inside joke for Rabbi Willie. But the point is, that is a koach of music that is very, very moshech. It is instantly exciting. It is instantly draws you in. But because it is tuma, the split second that it's over, there's nothing there. So I want to show you. How do you know you're listening to the music of Chom? You listen to music. It has a certain rhythm, a certain beat, and it brings you either to anger or sensuality. And that makes you feel good for whatever reason. The moment the music is switched off, boom! You feel frustrated. You feel you're missing something. You feel a sense of emptiness. And the only way you can fix that feeling of emptiness is to go back and listen to some more. It is an incredibly enticing kind of music, and that's good for the tumor of the whole thing. Once you stop listening to it, you need more. You need more of that fix. It's an incredible thing. Today, Western civilization, that has its roots in Mozart and Beethoven, have drawn into this music very big time. And you go into a discotheque on a Saturday night. I'm not going to say Motzei Shabbos. So a Saturday night discotheque. And you have, you know, the whole thing and the strobes and the thing, and everyone is being brought to either whatever this music is trying to bring you to. It is well known that after these things are over, you need police to stop the fights. There is always problems. When the music ends, people don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know how to channel it because they've experienced Chom without any spiritual token whatsoever. And the only way they can fix it is by going back to it once again. So I want to go back to Chom in a few minutes, but I want to make a comment to everyone. And very often I get this question, how do you define rabbi Jewish music? I go to tomorrow night, I'm going to Schmutz Laretz, and there I'm going to be asked by public school kids, what makes music Jewish? So over here, to you as advanced yeshiva bachurim, I can make the following statement. Do not confuse the music of Shem with the Jewish music of today. There's Jewish music, and there's music that Jews listen to. So, again, I'm not going to go on a rampage. I'll leave this for Rabbi David. But the point is as follows. There's a certain, you go to a Jewish chassan today. This is not the same as the music that the Levian played in the Beis HaMikdash. I've heard this from many, many good sources, that if you want to hear the music of the Beis HaMikdash, you're much better off listening to classical music. As a matter of fact, I once heard this to a big balki who spent his whole life working on this. There's a thing called Gregorian chants, which is it's from these monks, and they claim their Messiah is 1,000 years old, and that is maybe a tzlil of a tzlil, or you have the music in Georgia. In Georgia, the old, old music, when I say Georgia, I don't mean Atlanta, I mean in the Russian Georgia. They have these, they have this music that is based on, you know, the harmonies and stuff like that, that is closer to what you had in the Beis HaMikdash than we have in a Jewish chassan today. Nevertheless, and again, I spoke this over with many people, it's really not for now, the music that we hear in Jewish chassan is a bracha because it helps us from avoiding the music of the street. Today, when the Treif street is so close to the Jewish home, so this gives us a level of protection. I don't want to pop your way. I know you guys, I know Baruch Hashem, the guys in my shir listen to Jewish music. It's not going to happen when Mashiach comes. Do not be disillusioned if the Kohen Gadol does not take a microphone and have a bunch of young Kohanim going like this behind him and go, din, 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 the corn goes, it's not going to happen. Okay? You're not going to have whatever. You're not going to have the Malchi Yisrael going, hey, it's not going to happen. Do not get upset. Deal with it. Nevertheless, for the moment, when you go to a chasna and you're dancing to this music, so I know for a fact the Gedolim are not happy, but they tolerate it. If they felt it had crossed a red line, they would say so. In the early 90s, the Rabbanim in Brooklyn, they forbade a dance at Jewish chasnas. I think it was the cookie wookie, I don't know what it was, the jukie wookie, the macaroni, I don't know what it's called. You guys know what I'm talking about. It involved certain unkosher body movements. The Rabbanim felt this had crossed the red line. Michlal ani shemehein, that all the other music is kosher. What does it mean it's kosher? The other music is something you can tolerate. It's healthy, and Baruch Hashem, it gives an alternative to the streets. I know this, I'm zeichet to be, I had a charusa with a fellow called Suki Berry. No one under the age of 40, 35 knows who he is. Okay, whatever it is, he was in the 80s, he did the music for Mordechai Ben David, Avram Fried, back in the day. He discussed these things with Rav Hotner Zatzal, and this is basically what he got. There is a thing called the music of shame, which is the Jewish music Mukari. How do you know if it's Jewish music or music for Jews? It's a very simple rule of thumb. You know that you have listened to the music of shame if after you have listened to it, you have a tremendous burning desire to do something ruchnius. If you listen to music and you just need to go and daven mincha, you need to open up a briskarov, then you have listened to the music of shame. And the emesis, the mitzvah Hashem, we hope that on Motzei Shabbos, that a little bit you get inspired. The music we had, there is music today. My Rebbe, this is a private little comment. I take my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Pirro, to the mikvah on Friday afternoon. It's whatever it is. It's like I get to speak to him for 5 minutes before and 5 minutes afterwards. That's the highlight of my week. Besides, of course, giving shir in the morning. That's the highlight of my week. So every so often, he's just, it's one of those things. For me, it's a very, very moving thing. Just by the way, whenever I drive into the mikvah, it's the most crowded mikvah by the gun. I always find perfect parking in right in front of the mikvah. And I know this is unusual, because whenever I go there on my own, I can never find parking. I know, it's something incredible. Whenever I go there, you can't find parking. But when I take my Rebbe, there's always parking right there. Sometimes he comes out of the mikvah, and he's singing a tune. There's a few tunes that he likes to sing. Whenever he sings, I don't ask him questions. I just let him sing. And it's very rare, because he's a literature Rosh Hashiva. He just sings a tune after the mikvah. It is the most beautiful music for me to hear my Rebbe singing after the mikvah. It's filled with Kedusha. My Rebbe is not capable of singing a tune that he doesn't have a Maseir for those tunes. All the tunes that he sings are ancient. He got it from his father and his father and his father. It's a certain thing. It's a certain beauty to know that you're connected to music with a Maseir. Let's move to Yefes. Yefes is unique and special in the world of music. What does the word Yefes mean? It means beauty. What does it mean, the beauty of music? What makes music beautiful? So, Pshatapsha, and if anyone, you can answer, the word timer, you can say whatever you want, but I'm just suggesting that the beauty of music is found in harmony. The yoifi in the koyach of music is found in harmony. Anyone that understands, when people sing, when you guys sing together, if the more harmonies that you have that work together, the more the feeling of you being raised by the music comes out. It's the most incredible thing. You have those of you, Chatani Maskayam, I was raised in classical music. Long before Pink Floyd came into my life, that I was raised, and there was a certain thing when you hear all the many instruments playing in harmony, and sometimes a choir, and everything, you feel a tremendous elevation. There's a power, a tremendous power that's found in the koyach of harmony. I want to ask you a question. The yofi of the music is in harmony. Yefes mastered this music. Is this music good or is it bad? Is it good or is it bad? What would you answer? Dave, what would you answer? It depends what you use it for. In other words, you got to harness it. Yefes. Rabbi David, I have 3 minutes. I have to get there. Okay? Yaft. Elakim liyafes. The Eibishter gave, Noach said, you have the koyach of Yofi, and it has the option of harnessing it into the Ali Shem. You can take it and bring it into the Ali Shem. I think it's this week's parsha. It's this week's parsha. So the visions of Rabbah, the visions of Hasidim were very into music. And they said, literally means take from the cut off stuff from the ground. The word zemer, I've run out of time, but the word zemer is something they used to take from Goyish music and they used to sanctify it. You can take it and you can harness it to Kedusha. That you can only do with the music of Yefes. The Choshech of Yavon, why are the Greeks so evil? Why are they called Choshech? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them this incredible midah of Yofi, and what they did, they created the greatest darkness of all by creating an illusion of spirituality. In other words, their music takes you on a journey. Where does it take you to? So again, I grew up as a few at the, I don't know, Rabbi Olshin, whether you had to go to classical music when you were growing up, but we know, it wasn't in England and America. In England, after you listen to classical music, what do? You go to a pub and you drink. In America, they just eat. They're fressers. This is what they do. After class, you come out and you just heard this most incredible concert from Beethoven. And say, how was it? That was so elevating. That was so spiritual. What do you want to do? Let's eat. It's Americans. Okay? You got to eat meat. That's what they're inspired to eat meat. That is a choshech. That is a distortion. You go to see all the beauty of Yefes. Go and see the most beautiful paintings in the world. The last 100 years. Probably the most famous painting that is La Guernica of Picasso. It's an incredible thing. You go to Madrid, it's kedai to see it. It's mamash kedai. It's the most incredible artwork. It is a statement against war. I guarantee you that tens of millions of people have seen that painting. And it's there to make a statement against war. Not a single one has been inspired to say, you know what? Maybe I'll be nicer to my wife today. I'm inspired. It doesn't happen. The choshech of Yavon is that the music gives you an illusion of depth, an illusion that there's something there, but when you go in there, it's all avak, it's all ashan, there's nothing there. There's that, and you can carry on doing whatever you want. It inspires you to an illusion of inspiration, but really there's nothing there. So I want to conclude with a few statements over here. I want to just say a few summing up things over here. Statement number one. Today, unfortunately, America, Canada, is Decor here? David Gordon? Where it is, okay? But whatever, I mean America. America, when the founding fathers had basically, they wanted to introduce the Yefes, the Yofif Yefes into America. And that's basically how it was, more or less until the 50s. There was a sense of culture, a sense of beauty that existed in America. What happened since then is that there's been a slow going down from Yofi of Yefes to the Chamimus of Chom. And in music in particular, today, the music of Chom dominates the American airways. It's just a fact. And if you are going to listening to the pop culture, you're plugging in not to Yefes, you're plugging into Chom. So the power of Hanukkah, talking about Yefes, has lost a little bit of its meaning because the whole of American society has gone all the way, started off with their culture, then it's their sports heroes, and today it's their president. The whole thing has come down from Yefes to the Koyach of Chom. It's a different type, it's a different kind. I'm British, I can say what I want. Okay? So this is exactly where, this is where it comes from. What does it mean? What does it mean for Yeshiva Bacham in particular? I want you to know exactly what it means. I want you to understand, when you listen to the music of Chom, and this music of Chom is pure Tumah. Now, you might think, okay, well, everyone's listening to it, and it makes me excited. It makes me feel good. And boy, these guys are better musicians, no offense to Shwaki and friends. These are incredible musicians. And it brings you to Kass, and it brings you to Taiva, and afterwards, you feel an existential emptiness. And it's very Moshech. It gets you very excited. I want you to understand. When a Ben Torah, you're ready now to hear this. It's one-third through the year. Shlish Gidula, you're ready to hear this. Rabbis, I'm going to say it the way it is. Imagine you hear a shir. You have over here, you're a Ben. You're Rav Schneider, you have a Reichen, Rabbi David. Rabbi Yudin, you hear your Rabbeim, and they are showing you not just the Word of God, not just the Dvar Hashem. They're showing you inside a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mind a little bit. When you're learning a Brisker Rav, you're seeing a little bit how Kodesh Baruch Hu thinks. That's what you're trying to plug into. Do you realize what your neshama is going through? You may not be aware of what's happening, but you're learning a Brisker Rav in Hanukkah. Your neshama is going, if I could describe your neshama, imagine a beautiful island, and it's a beautiful beach, and your neshama is sitting there in a hammock, drinking a tequila, whatever it is, you know, I have to say that here, sorry, drinking a Diet Coke, right? You're drinking a thing, and your neshama is in heaven and heaven. Then after you hear a shir, what do? You take the iPod and say, I can't take this, I need to plug into Chum. So imagine you take that person on the beach and you drag him through, you find over here a gutter, and the gutter goes into a rat hole filled with feces and filled with everything that's disgusting, and you pass it through with dead cockroaches. No, live ones, okay? And they're crawling all over you, and that's what your neshama is going, it's such a cruel thing to do. That's exactly what's happening. It's le yoruman that Yeshiva Baruch Hu with brains would want to do such a thing to their neshama. It's such a cruel thing. You're just being in touch with shame, not the music of shame, but the terror of shame, and you're going to chan, you're passing it through this gutter filled with dirt and filth, and you're letting it contaminate your neshama, and you know that it's so hard to get away from. So what do you see, Rebbe? But it's so hard. Yeah, I grew up with this stuff. What do you want me to do? You can't just stop listening to Disturbia. I don't even know what it is. I probably not. Yeah, you have to ask Josh Redlich anything. He'll tell you all the names. He'll give you all the info. But you can't just stop. Rebbe, it's too hard. So I want to tell you something. You are one third through a year. You already know where the emes is. You already understand what it means, the beauty and the tahar that there is in music. You already understand there's something kodesh in music. So you have to be makadosh yourself. You makadosh yourself when you daven. You makadosh yourself when you learn. You got to makadosh your ears when you listen to this incredible gift that the Vilna Gaon said that this is the chachma that he himself was not completely masik. This is the yofi of chachma. This is the beauty of wisdom. That's the words of the Chasam Sefer. The Chasam Sefer called music the yofi of chachma, the beauty in wisdom. And you got to do something. So when should you start? The answer is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the time of the year when you can really wage war against a culture that stands against everything you're trying to do with your life. How do you do it? The answer is in stages. You can't go cold turkey. I'm telling you, every single one of you here can work out a plan to wean yourself off this tumah. For example, you don't have to listen to an Erev Shabbos, and you don't have to listen to an Amati Shabbos. You can make Shabbos is Kodesh, surround Shabbos with music, with Jewish music. It's not a big deal. You can get used to it little by little. Today, you can ask Shlomo Katz next time you meet him, Rabbi Katz, he'll give you a whole list series of albums. You tell him the music you like. He'll give you something you can go and buy that's written by people with Yerushalayim, and you can wean yourself off that music. When I was 1979, I came to Yeshiva, I listened to the Ask for Yeshiva band. That was it. That got me off the guard. That got me off that stuff. You can go through steps. Make yourself a promise that your home, when you build it, the walls of your home will only hear Shabbos mirrors, will not hear this stuff. If you need to cheat, that's why you have an iPod, that's why you have a car. But you have to do this. It's important that you wage war. I just want to say, the next line is in honor of Yossi Sement, just a little comment over here, that Hanukkah is the time where you've got to focus on this. So let's say, those of you that heard me on Thursday nights, so I went off and spoke about there's a sport that Americans like, which involve the people in shoulder pads and stretchy pants. I can't say much more about this, it's an embarrassment. It's a tzuras ha'adam to be a peer with these funny things, a ball that's not even shaped right, and they have all these discussions, and no one's been able to explain to me, whatever it is. But this Sunday night, there we go, this Sunday night is the last night of Hanukkah. You'll be lighting 8 candles, l'malam on a teva, and there are games that are out there. It could be an important game. Y'all see, it's an important game? It's an important game. Can you imagine what you'll be doing for your neshama and say, I am dying to watch those games? These are not just storm games. These are huge beasts that are half human, half hippos. okay? And they are going to be crashing through and doing touchdowns. And these people are over bar mitzvah, okay? These are not little children, they're over bar mitzvah. You can do it. Just like you can do it with music. You can overcome this thing. Okay, I want to say one last thing. Olam Haba is what we're all focused on. Silta Sharma says, "Le'nivra ha'adam le'matzav ba'olam hazeh." Everything is mechuvim to Olam Haba. What is Olam Haba? So the Navi says, "Ayin le'rasa." There's no way to describe Olam Haba. Shemati mirabaisai. I heard from my teachers. If you want a little itsy bitsy taste of what it means the world to come, it can be found in music. Why? What does it mean? What my kesher between music and Olam Haba? So you know that Olam Haba is called Hashem Echad. What does it mean, Hashem Echad? God is one. Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. What does it mean, God is one? And what does Rashi mean? Says God is not one yet, Rahman al-Sain, and He will be one. If you have a conductor, imagine a conductor could come over here and go to every single person in this room and say to you, Josh, I know exactly what music you should be playing. Here, here's a piano. And he goes up to Joey and says, Joey, here's cymbals. Okay, okay, whatever, he's from Kansas. Okay, whatever it is, okay? Little by little, bit by bit. And he goes up to one, you know what? Michael, you're from Chicago, here's a triangle. Okay, this is your instrument. Imagine the beauty of the music that could come out of this room. The Torah Shraga Symphony Orchestra, Rabbi Olchin's already thinking how we can make money out of this, right? It's going to be incredible, right? We're going to have, imagine I could bring out the music of everyone. Now, let's go further, because Torah Shraga, we have other yeshivas that we like. So we go over there, there's another yeshiva down the road. Let's say we bring, every yeshiva is going to play their orchestras, and I, the conductor, is going to teach everyone to play in harmony with everybody else. Imagine we could do this with all of Yerushalayim, where everyone in Yerushalayim, ki ishachad b'levachad, is playing an instrument with harmony with everybody else. Your neshama would leave your body from the sweetness of the music that will come out. It would be so incredible. Imagine you went from city to city, from country to country, from nation to nation, until every single person created in Tzel HaKim was playing music in harmony with just one conductor. Then you'd start to hear the Pirkei Shir of the animals. Then you'd realize that all of the creation is also playing music. And then you'd hear, the Zohar brings down, that it's a bracha that we can't hear the music of the higher worlds. Because if we heard the music of the higher worlds, then our neshamas would not be able to stand in our bodies anymore. Miroiv hamesikus, from the sheer beauty and sweetness of the music that's coming out from the world around, we just don't know how to tune in. If all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation was playing in harmony with each other, that concert would have a conductor called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the name of the concerto is Hashem Echad. That's the power of music. That's what music is meramis to. So I want to give everyone over here, it's a bracha, but I want to give you a challenge, that this Hanukkah, where the Yofi of Yefes is there with its full Tumah, and the Mesiris Nefesh of the Chashmonaim to be Metaher, the Koyach of Yefes, every single one of you to say, this is talking to me. This is my Hanukkah, I can change. I can do something meaningful. Yossi on Sunday night will not watch the games. It's going to be the hardest thing he ever did in his life. And they're going to be boys in this room who are going to go back now and go to their iPods and says, you know what? Not this year. Or not on Fridays and Shabbos. Or for sure not after I heard a shir. And it's going to be so hard for you. But then you will have meaningfully be able to say you had a Hanukkah. You defeated the Greeks yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemitzaka said your R and my R and all the Irish together should make a big flame to bring the Irish HaMashiach Meher B'Yameinu.